Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey here in studio. I'm a Padres beat writer. The Padres are in town for three more, last three home games before the end of the first half. A phrase that bugs me, Jay, because the first half is already over. Jay Posner, sports editor, sitting across from me. What is this, the second, third time we've done this?
Yeah, maybe the third.
Wow.
Maybe the third. It's unusual to see you not in the press box, not with, you know, a plate of cookies in front of you.
Yes.
And a cup of coffee.
Oatmeal raisin.
And that's right.
I convinced myself.
Several notes, you know, that you're and typing away. No matter when I look down in there, you're always typing.
Jay, what are your thoughts on this? I convinced myself that oatmeal raisin cookies are good for you because they have oatmeal and raisins.
I'm all for that.
Okay. Padres Giants coming up three in a row. I can't help it. The first thing I think of after the three, you know, really good crowds at Petco Park, really good Padres crowds at Petco Park, the first thing I think of is, I wonder what these crowds are going to be like the next 3 days.
I don't know. Do you think it would really be any different? I mean, I thought there were a lot of Cardinals fans there. Mm-hmm. I was there Friday and
there were.
Sunday, and I thought there was the usual contingent of Cardinal fans, the best fans in baseball.
But this time, unlike last year, okay, mm-hmm. which last year the Cardinals were here during one of the many 1998 celebrations, the Cardinals fans took over last year.
Correct.
They did not this year.
No, that is very true. And you know, the games had a little bit of something to do with mm-hmm. that, but not mm-hmm. that much. I will say a lot more Cardinals fans seemed to be hanging around toward the end yesterday than Padre fans, but of course the Cardinal fans had the advantage of being seated in the shade as the game went on. So they were all on that third base side. I don't know what to expect from the Giants. I mean, the Giants aren't very good. They've been here just once this year,
the
and it was
first
and
series?
It, right the first series of the year. Now that we're into summer, school's out, you know, maybe people are taking trips. More people from here that are Giants fans might be coming out. I don't know. I wouldn't expect, and you would hope, that Padre fans would turn out as well, and that you know, they wouldn't take over. The Giants yeah. fans wouldn't be allowed to take over. It's always good. I mean, the crowds this weekend, I think a couple of them were, what, around 32,000, and then you had the sellout on Saturday night. So it's always good to see that many people in the ballpark, and you know, I hope this week with the Giants that, you know, there's not that kind of fallback to where we get to 19 or 20 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that the atmosphere is always just better when there's more people there.
I think that's kind of the thing. It's like, you know, you and I don't have a vested interest in this thing. It's just more exciting.
Right.
When there's more people. And then the team obviously has made it more exciting. And like, I don't know, it's just a part of it, like where it really can be, not depressing, but it's just blah when...
Yeah. No, depressing's not the word.
No.
But and it's one of those things. I mean, I was, as you know, and people who listen to this regularly know, I go as a fan mm-hmm. way, way more than I go as a working person. I might stop by the press box to deliver a message, but I'm sitting in the stands. And to me, we keep coming back to the same person mm-hmm. on this. But Fernando Tatis Jr., yesterday, one of those moments where that's why you go to baseball games, because the ball was hit, and I had a good view of where the ball was hit, and I could see Tatis running, and he got to second base, and I said to my wife, he's going to try to score on this.
Yeah.
And not only did he try to score, he could have scored standing up. I mean,
yeah.
he is so much faster than I think even people that are playing against him realize. Nobody has quite gotten to come to grips yet with his speed. And he was around the bases yesterday before the Cardinals – knew what hit him, and Jose Martinez in particular just kind of I don't want to say he loafed after the ball, because I don't think he was loafing. It was a casual, okay, it's going to be first and third. Hosmer's certainly not going to go for a double here. I got time. And before you knew it, Tatis was sliding into home with, you know, what looked at the time to be a big run, and especially after the two runs that the Cardinals got. Okay, now you got this 3-2 lead, and the 3-2 lead is because Tatis got this,
and it
got
very
this
well
run.
Could have been another game that he won for them. You know,
right.
what I'm saying.
And I would have liked to have seen him get a chance in the last inning,
yeah.
except for, you know, Kerwin Danley had to be Kerwin Danley and call pitches that weren't strikes, and He was all over the place throughout the game.
Throughout the game.
And so it wasn't like this one moment.
I felt like Joey Lucchesi got some Kerwin Danley love.
Absolutely. It's just a bad – it was a Kerwin Danley game. He's not a good umpire, like most of them are not.
And careful. He's an Aztec.
I know he's an Aztec.
Careful, Jay.
I even said on the way out, I don't care that he's an Aztec. I don't care that he played with Tony Gwynn. I don't care that he was a great player. Right now he's an umpire, and he's not any good. And he cost us a chance to see Tatis in a big moment, you know, more than anything else. Whether Tatis would have come through or not is beside the point. It would have just been great to see him have the chance to come up. That's today's umpire rant, brought to you by...
We should talk, because that brings it up. I think that the number nine hole, the last out, was the first time it didn't strike out. Now, two of those were Joey Lucchesi, but still, Will Myers and Austin Hedges, they're basically in the same boat right now. They're almost automatic outs.
That's not good if you're Will Myers and you're in the Austin Hedges boat offensively.
Right, and they're probably going to be replaced more often than not at this point.
Right, I think Hedges had one hit yesterday, I believe.
He did.
And
a hard hit ball, a hard hit out.
But
you're hitting 170, oh well.
Yeah.
And look, I can't gush any more about Austin Hedges and what he does, but the fact is the Padres need his batting average to be, not the batting average, but in this case, look, if the guy's hitting 220, Francisco Mejia would have to be really, really good to unseat Austin Hedges. That's
right.
How good he is behind the plate.
Right.
But 170 ain't cutting it.
Yeah.
So, and then Will Myers, wow, six in a row. Now, here's the thing, too. Will looked terrible in his three at-bats yesterday. But you know who had a terrible day at the plate? Manuel Margot.
Right.
For the first time in his six straight starts, he expanded his strike zone, which is his problem, okay?
Yeah.
And he looked terrible. There's the opening for Will Myers, but Will Myers looked terrible.
Yeah, it was weird. Friday night, Myers came up,
mm-hmm.
first pitch, slammed a double, hit it very hard down the line. It's like, wow, look at that. It's Will Myers. And then yesterday, it looked terrible again. The Margot at bat was the biggest at bat of the game. To me, that's where the game was lost, because the Padres, even after the game was tied on a, you know, an unearned run in that top of the eighth, Stammen gave up the infield single, which Machado threw away. Then he gave up a soft single to right, which would not have scored the run, but Reyes bobbled it. So you have two soft hits, two errors, tie game. Not on Craig Stammen this time. I mean, I don't think anybody could put it on him, although I'm sure people did. But you can't put that on Stammen. But still, they had a chance. The Cardinals walked the bases loaded in the eighth inning. And the first pitch, and again, I'm not a guy who thinks you have to take the first pitch in that situation, but it has to be your pitch. And that pitch was higher than it should have, than Margot should have been swinging at a pitch in that situation. The only thing I can think of is he was obviously excited, wanted to drive in the run, thought if he could get a ball in the air, okay, that's going to score the run.
Also, is thinking he's Manuel Margot, I'm not going to get doubled up.
Right.
And you're right. You know what? I love that.
And he hit it to like the one place where he couldn't hit the ball.
And he also didn't get out of the box very well.
Because he jammed himself.
Yes.
Swinging at a pitch shouldn't have swung.
There you go. And that is the thing. Not that it was first pitch, though. That's bad, especially. You know, Manny Machado, nine pitch strikeout, I believe, right? Nine pitch strikeout. Then I think the other three guys that walked, seven pitches, six pitches, seven pitches. I mean, that doesn't mean Manuel Margot is wrong to swing at the first pitch, but the pitch that he swung at. And that is Manuel Margot's problem. And it wasn't the only at-bat like that yesterday.
Right.
And it's like, oh, but Will looked like he has lately. And, you know, you're talking about two guys who I think bring a lot to the table, but at this point, it's like a no-brainer that they're not playing. I mean, though I think Will
Except
might start tonight.
Except one of
tonight,
them has to be playing.
I think no, I'm talking about Austin and
oh,
Will.
Oh, okay.
I think tonight it is possible, though, gosh, really looked bad yesterday, that Will starts because, you know, six in a row for Manuel Margot. And like I said, you know, Manuel Margot needs a breather.
Right.
From yesterday. You know, he just does.
Right.
That's the kind of day. That is classic when Andy Green sits Manuel Margot is after a game like that. But unfortunately for him right now, his option is Will Myers. But here's the thing about Will Myers, and it's why they let him play, you know, 30 games in a row or whatever it was. He's incredibly talented.
Oh, yeah.
So he could go out tonight and go 3-for-4, and everyone knows it. Even the biggest Will Meyer hater knows that tonight Will Myers could go out and hit two bombs, mm-hmm. a double, and, of course, strike out. But, you know.
Or he could strike out three times and hit into a double play. I mean, it's got to be maddening for all of them.
Jay, what do you got for me?
Including Will Myers. Absolutely. Now, real quick, before you move on, Francisco Mejia, do you think he'll be in the lineup tonight, or no way to know at this point?
No way to know at this point. And the thing was that Andy Green had supplied some hope on Saturday that, hey, you know what, probably just a day, it's a bruise, whatever. He hadn't responded, as they say, as well as he wasn't available yesterday, they said after the game.
Okay.
And, you know, just a little inside there. When Andy Green, his only, quote, lies are when he'll say, you know, he could come off the bench. Well, I guess, you know, if, you know, there was a miracle,
right,
he'll say
right
before the game. And the media kind of goes along with it because it's like, you know, we don't need to let the other team know. That's just, you know, otherwise Andy doesn't need to talk to us on those little things. But after the game, Andy said he wasn't available. We didn't have him. So, and there were quite a few guys yesterday. Trey Wingenter had lost a lot of weight from being sick. Hunter Renfroe, pinch hit, worked a real nice walk.
Right.
Don't know if he had the strength to hit it out of the park. Even Hunter Renfroe yesterday, the flu has gone around. Manny Machado's only game in the last 16 games without a hit, he was racked by the flu on Friday when he was 0-for-4. It's been going around. Anyway, little aside, Francisco Mejia, don't know, got hit there in the elbow on, what, Friday? And so you might see Austin Hedges again tonight. After all that we just said, could see Austin Hedges and Will Myers in the lineup tonight. That's just the way things are.
That's baseball, Kevin.
Jay, the Giants, they're not good. They're in last place. They did sweep the Padres when I was in San Francisco two games a couple weeks ago. Tell me about the Giants.
Speaking of Trey Wingenter, he was the one who blew one of those games. With giving up a key hit, if I remember correctly, to Evan Longoria, of all people.
After walks.
Right, right.
Yes.
And that was one of the problems the Padres were having yesterday, was Lucchesi walked a couple guys. Now, Perdomo got out of it, but he walked a guy and hit a guy. So later in games, it seems like those are – that's kind of stepping up a little bit as an issue where they're
– which is so weird.
Putting guys on base, and they weren't walking guys earlier in the year.
No.
So
that's one of those things where you ask them and, I don't know, walks come in bunches.
Yeah.
That's baseball.
I don't know. The Giants are bad. They're 36-47, but they have been better lately. They were 14-13 in June. Their run differential was exactly even in June. So playing better, 17-9 in one-run games. And I think a lot of that is because their bullpen is really good. There's a lot of talk that they're going to spend this next month trading away pieces out of that bullpen to try to rebuild what's, you know, not a very good roster.
Or farm system.
Farm system at this point. Will Smith, I'm sure, will go somewhere. You know, Dyson, some of these guys will probably go somewhere. Their starters have a ERA over 5. Their bullpen has an ERA under 4. So it's been pretty good. The one thing about them, and of course this the Padres had a similar stat and we saw what happened yesterday, 53-1 when they have the lead after 7 innings, and 28-0 when they have the lead after 8. So that's something to keep in mind as we watch the games this week. The Padres won 2 series earlier in the year against the Giants, really early. They won 3 out of 4 here, 2 out of 3 up there before that 2-game sweep that you talked about. We'll see Jeff Samardzija tonight, who's certainly no stranger. I think this is his 19th career start against the Padres. Usually pretty good, although you can't put a lot of stock in that just because the rosters change over so much. But he's pitching tonight. Tyler Beede, who the Padres hit around a little bit in San Francisco, he's not been very good. He'll pitch Tuesday. And then Sean Anderson, who also pitched up in that series, 2 runs in 6 innings. That's pretty much a kind of a standard start from what I could tell out of Anderson this year. He's been okay. Padres, Logan Allen
tonight, Matt Strom, and then Cal Quantrill. And that's why Cal Quantrill, first of all, the Padres, Franmil Reyes hit a single, so Ian Kinsler had to come in and hit to try to win the game there. But that was the, you know, obviously the Padres knew that was coming up, and they were okay with putting Cal Quantrill in, knowing he'd be out in possibly out in an inning, because he was only going to go an inning anyway, because he is starting on a Wednesday. Not exactly sure, and obviously that'll be one of the main things to try to find out at the park today, is what that means in terms of Denelson Lamet, who they fully expected to return, or, you know, is able to return after, you know, Tommy John surgery last April, has had his 6 rehab starts, which is actually about, what, maybe they thought maybe 5. He's had 6, up to 5 innings 3 times in a row. He's ready. But Jay, you and I were talking about how Denelson Lamet, maybe they don't want to have him come back at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just throwing that out there, that if there is any concern at all, do they not want to throw him? The way things would line up, he couldn't pitch on Wednesday.
Nope. He pitched Friday. That was his last rehab.
Right. So they're not going to pitch him on Wednesday. So at that point, do they want to pitch him at Dodger Stadium? Maybe they do.
Yeah.
We'll find out. They could skip him now. If Quantrill's going to pitch Wednesday, they could go Lauer, Paddock, and that would be Paddock Kershaw, by the way, on Friday, and then bring back Lucchesi Saturday, Logan Allen Sunday, and then they're in the break.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Lamet. Weird that none of the Padres pitchers starting this week have started against the Giants this year. Allen and Quantrill, I don't think, have ever pitched against them. Strom pitched last year in relief, but has not started against them this year. So we'll see how that goes. And then we won't be on here on Thursday because of the holiday. So the Dodgers will throw Ryu in that game against Lauer, so that's obviously Dodgers be heavy favorites in that game, and then we'll talk on Friday morning, and like I said, we could be previewing a Paddock Kershaw rematch.
We could, though I did have someone tell me, and at the time I thought I had it all figured out, and I thought someone else had sort of led me in the direction that it wasn't the case, but Paddock could be facing Ryu. So maybe there's something, obviously, as Andy Green always says.
That's only 4 days, though. They don't throw him on. They don't throw Paddock on 4 days.
So maybe Ryu's going to be.
I don't know.
As Andy Green always says, that's the way the pods do the rotation. You know what I mean? Like, we just don't know.
Right.
It's crazy. I actually think it could be that way a little bit next year too, with a bunch of young guys. And maybe that's the way they're normal in majors anymore. You just can't set it up anymore.
Yeah, I mean, how many different starters?
Yeah.
Are you going to put on sort of regular
yeah.
schedules? I mean, there's just so many different guys and different things to take into consideration.
Jay, I'm going to lob this up, and you can tell me whether we can talk about this or not. I almost feel like we'd be remiss to not talk about the All-Star snub.
I was just going to bring that up. So
okay.
you go ahead.
Well, first off, Fernando Tatis, if you look at the numbers – even some of his totals after missing 34 games.
Right.
He's an all-star. You can't ignore the 34 games, though. You can't ignore the rule that the Paul DeJong had to be in the all-star game, or a Cardinal had to be in the all-star
right.
game. He's a shortstop. Trevor Story deserves to be there.
And Javi Baez does, too.
Javi Baez deserves to be there.
Although Baez, I did read today that Baez might pull out.
Well,
so that would open up a spot.
I can't believe that Fernando Tatis Jr. would not be the first guy that they would call for so many reasons, including he's going to be exciting in that game. He's going to be exciting, and baseball needs it.
But can I bring up the counterpoint?
Please. Absolutely.
This is Major League Baseball.
I mean, thought it'd be better than that.
No, that's what it is. You're counting. I mean, do you have faith that someone is going to do the right thing? I don't know the answer.
I'm
going to
throw this out.
I don't know the answer to that.
He's so exciting. His agent's one of the most powerful guys in the sport.
Right.
I just feel like and
like they can't screw this up.
I just feel like that he's so darn, and I don't mean to, but it just is. He is so exciting.
Right. No, he's exactly the kind of player you should be showcasing in the All-Star game. I mean, it's really, if there is an opening there, and if Baez really can't play, he would be the so obvious of a choice that maybe they couldn't mess it up.
Can you imagine our friends on the Twitter if Baez pulls out and Tatis? Oh my goodness.
So
I wouldn't blame him, though, because absolutely.
But again, I'll go back to this. Major League Baseball invited Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I made a comment on this on Twitter yesterday, to be in the Home Run Derby. Why? What? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was hyped at the start of the year as the top prospect in baseball. Right. Hyped at the top prospect in baseball. He's obviously was not, because Tatis has been much better, at least so far. So I'm not writing off Guerrero. But it's just very odd. Why does baseball think that anybody is – are we really going to tune in?
Because baseball is huge.
Because Vlad Guerrero – I mean, unless they're going for the Dominican audience.
But in Canada, there's hockey's number 3, basketball's number 2, and baseball's number 1.
And Vlad Guerrero's number 1. It was just one of those decisions. Like, he has, I thought maybe I'd missed something, and I looked it up. He has 8 home runs.
Yeah.
So
he hits the ball hard, and he's Vlad Guerrero. His dad will be there. They'll do a song.
I guess that's the only explanation. And I'm not saying that Tatis should be in the Home Run Derby, because he shouldn't be. But I could think of a couple other Padres, and I could think of players around the league. I mean,
when
Mike Moustakas, I think, has 24 home runs.
It was a couple of weeks ago that Vladimir Guerrero, I believe, put it out or something on Instagram or something that he was going. He did, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was like a week ago.
Right.
And believe me, there was some comments and some thoughts in the Padres organization.
Oh,
what? Yeah. Are you kidding? And it became obvious to everyone that they're going to ask everybody. And then, you know, Franmil Reyes will probably get a call when someone can't make
it. Like on Sunday?
And he'll gladly go.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
You know, be a hoot. He will. All right, Jay.
And the other snub, I guess, would be someone like Machado. But I understand that because a lot of this balloting was done probably in the last couple of weeks. Machado just got hot, really, in the last couple of weeks. We had talked about before, his numbers, while they were okay, were not what you would expect from someone like Machado. If you look at his numbers now, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Bryant has some pretty good numbers, too. I mean, he has an OPS over 900. It's not like Chris Bryant
until I looked at the numbers. I was okay with Tatis not going. I'm still okay with it. It's the All-Star game, okay?
Exactly.
But I was okay with it until you just said, take away all the excitement. The numbers support him being in there.
Yeah.
But you got to look at, Eric Hosmer's had a pretty decent first half. Look, there's a lot of good first basemen.
Right.
You know, Manny Machado, the case you just made, there's some really good third basemen are having good years. The outfielders, either one of those guys could be All-Stars. And you know what? If the Padres were coming off a World Series win, Hunter Renfro and Framil Reyes would probably be in the All-Star game. But there's a lot of good outfielders.
And that's why we said last week, not going to get worked up over who goes to the All-Star game. I got a little worked up over Guerrero just because it just makes no sense. And there's so many other players I would rather see in the Home Run Derby. I mean, not just Padres, but everywhere. Than Vlad Guerrero Jr. If he's as good as everybody thinks he's going to be in baseball, he'll get his chances down the road. I completely understand why Tatis didn't make it. I understand why people will get worked up about it, and I will really understand why people will get worked up if there's a vacancy that's created and then he doesn't get picked, because that would really make no sense. Just from the overall standpoint of baseball, forget the Padres, baseball should want to have a player like this in
from the people I heard from game. Last night, based on some reaction in the game from what Fernando Tatis said after the game, which was his disappointment, and I believe that there's an expectation that he'll get a call this week.
Right.
So,
well, we can look forward to that. It would be great for him. I think it sounds like it would really mean a lot to him. I think it would mean a lot to the organization. It would mean a lot to the fans, and it really would be good for baseball to have him in the game.
I'd say Fernando Tatis has really disappointed me, by the way. I love to – it's one of my favorite parts about the game is to see how greatness operates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people have all these judgments, and it's like, I am never going to tell a 20-year-old player who wakes up in the morning who can do backflips, right, that I could never do, you know, with an hour of stretching, that he shouldn't be disappointed, that he shouldn't be angry, that he, you know, I'm sorry. No. And so I thought his comments after the game yesterday where he felt slighted and go, boy, go.
Yeah, I think that, you know what, exactly. I mean, we talk all the time. We want athletes to be honest. Hmm. It was great to see him be honest about that. If he's disappointed, he has every right to be
He didn't lash out. He nothing.
Right.
He just, he, I he thought I was going, man.
If I ain't starting, I ain't departing. We didn't get one of those. It wasn't anything like that. But I don't blame him for being disappointed. He's had a tremendous first half. Of course, you know, unfortunately, he missed the 5 weeks or whatever, 6 weeks. But when he's been on the field, said it many times, you cannot take your eyes off the field when he is on the field. So
we could go on forever on sort of the ridiculousness and the double standard. If he was Javi Baez and had missed 34 games, he'd still be starting.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Anyway. All right.
Anyway, people should make sure they read the story that you wrote about him that was in the Sunday paper and that has been online as well. Because that did talk a lot about what he's done and how people just can't really explain, including him, how do you do this stuff? I don't know. It just happens. That's how the great ones do it.
The more you're in this business, the more sometimes you discount quotes. That's one thing I learned during my 5 years as a columnist. Quotes are overrated.
Uh-huh.
The more I retweeted the story this morning. The more I read the quotes in this story, the more I was amazed at the quotes in this story, because veterans and coaches like Damian Easley, who is been in the game forever and does not, he is not, I cannot stress how laid back and how he doesn't overstate things.
Right.
Eric Hosmer, same thing. Ian Kinsler, for goodness sake, same thing. The amazement they express it at Fernando Tatis, that makes the story worth it.
Right.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a good, safe holiday, and we will talk to you again on Friday.